Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here's your host, Adam Pfeiffer.
We are on to week three already. Welcome back, everybody. This is the FTN DataCast here for week three. It is Friday, September 22nd, 2023. Appreciate Scott Spratt filling in for me on the podcast last week. Every single year, right around week one, week two, I get sick. And that was the case last week. Was not going to be able to talk for about, 45 minutes to, 1 hour straight without coughing and everything. So appreciate Scott filling in. But I'm back here for week three with the read option. If you are new, I've been doing a game-by-game article over at FTN Fantasy for a while now. And the format is a little bit different this season, where we still have, the game-by-game article, right? But instead of one long, huge article, it's broken up individually by game. There's a landing page over at FTN Fantasy where you can literally choose and find the game you want to look at, click on it, and then the breakdown for that game is on that page. So we pair it with the podcast, right? So whether you prefer to consume content, audio, visual, reading, we have you covered here at FTN Fantasy and here on the FTN DataCast. And it's crazy out there right now, right? I mean, technically week three started, but we've only been one game in to week three. And there's teams where, there's a team I have where I'm starting Miles Sanders, Jaylen Warren, and Joshua Kelly. There's teams that are starting Joshua Kelly and Jerome Ford. I mean, we've had so many unfortunate, brutal injuries, especially to the running back position. Obviously, the awful, heartbreaking injury to Nick Chubb. Eckler's out, Barkley's out, Taylor's been out, Dobbins out. It's been brutal. So, hopefully you're piecing things together. But we'll move on here. Read option for week number three, breaking down all the games. And we'll start with probably the game of the week for fantasy, right? Massive total. I think it's pushing like 53 points right now, the last time I looked. 54 points, actually. But it's the Chargers and Vikings. And simply put, like, you're starting everybody almost, right? Like, you're starting Herbert, who's had back-to-back 300-yard games. Minnesota last week, look, Brian Flores is there, and their pass defense has been much improved. But this is a different Vikings defense. Last year and in years past, they've been playing a lot of man coverage. And Brian Flores in particular, anytime he's been, on a defensive staff, that team's played a lot of man coverage and blitzing a lot. And Minnesota's blitzing, like we always see with Flores' defenses. They're at 49% blitz rate, highest rate in the league. But they're playing more cover two. They're playing more zone. They played a ton of cover two last week against Philadelphia, and the Eagles just said, you know what? We'll take 6 yards a pop and run the ball right down the throat of the defense. I don't think that's the same situation here this time around against the Chargers. Maybe they do. But regardless, I mean, it's a good matchup. Justin Herbert's faced, I think, 20 dropbacks or had 20 dropbacks against the blitz so far this season. 78% completion rate and a touchdown. You love the total. And look, these two defenses just are giving up so many explosive pass plays, right? You look at our advanced defense page over at FTN Fantasy, 17.5% of the dropbacks against the Vikings are passes that go 20-plus air yards in the down the field. Second highest rate in the league. Right behind them at third is the Chargers, which is why you have to love Kirk Cousins as well. On the other side of the ball, 44 passing attempts in back-to-back games. This might be a game where they can finally run the ball, but we know this is a pass-first team. They're sporting a 75% pass rate in neutral game scripts. Tannehill, QB 15 against the Chargers last week. Tua was obviously QB1 in week one. So, yeah, you love both quarterbacks in this game. Right before I hit record, we got the word that Austin Eckler will not practice again on Friday, which makes it almost all but guaranteed he does not play again. I know Joshua Kelly was disappointing last week, but look, the Chargers face Tennessee. It's been the premier run funnel or pass funnel defense in the NFL for years now. You just don't run on Tennessee. And the Chargers, Kellen Moore is smart, right? He's done this for years where he did it against Tennessee when he was with Dallas. I think it was last season where they just didn't run the football. And that was the case now with the Chargers last week as they had a 68% neutral script pass rate, completely different from what we saw in week one. they'll be able to run the football here. Whether the Vikings use that same defensive approach this time around or not, but in general, so far this season, Minnesota allowing the fifth most yards before contact per attempt. And like, Kelly didn't play bad last week, and the role was still good. He had 79% of the snaps. He handled 13 of the 20 running back touches, ran 29 pass routes. He just didn't get the ball. Chargers didn't run the ball. If he gets that same role this week, he will be probably a top 15 running back for me. So assuming Eckler is out, I am very, very comfortable going right back to Joshua Kelly. Keenan Allen, I mean, I talk about it all the time, but Keenan Allen returned from that hamstring injury in week 11 of last season. Since then, he is averaging 7.5 receptions, 10.2 targets, 86.2 receiving yards, and just under 20 PPR points per game. He's been unstoppable. We're even seeing him get more down the field usage in this offense. He's obviously a top 8 play. He's amazing. And I love Mike Williams too. I mean, his kind of role and usage has shifted a little bit in this Kellen Moore offense. Last year, Mike Williams averaged 9.1 yards before the catch per reception, and he only played in the slot 15% of the time. This year, he's averaging 6 yards before the catch per reception, and he's in the slot 36% of the time. So if that trend continues, Mike Williams is still going to have his, you know, 6 for 120 and a touchdown games. But last week, he had a game where he had 13 targets, and he caught 8 for 83. Like, if the floor, if Mike Williams is getting more slot targets and targets closer to the line of scrimmage, the floor will be much higher than it normally would be for Mike Williams. And yeah, the Vikings, second most receiving yards per game to opposing number 2 wide receivers this season at 91 per game. Love Mike Williams. Gerald Everett, like, I get if you want to chase the matchup, but this is concerning. I mean, he got outsnapped by Donald Parham last week, 34-28. Parham ran 19 routes to Gerald Everett's 15. And this is a trend that last year was starting, right? Donald Parham, once he came back, was limiting the snaps for Gerald Everett. So unless that changes, and it sucks because I think Gerald Everett's incredibly talented, unless that changes, he's a middling tight end too at best. Going back to the Vikings though, they just brought in Akers, right? Cam Akers is on the team now. I don't think he has a massive role in week three, so I still think Alexander Mattison is a volume-based running back too in a good matchup here. You look at the Chargers. They are a team that will give it up on the ground. 13% of the runs against them have gained 10-plus yards. I think one more week, and if Mattison doesn't get it done, then you start to worry, like, how much does Akers start to play going forward? You're starting Justin Jefferson, obviously. And I love Jordan Addison here. Absolutely love him. I know he's still not playing the amount we want him to play, and Osborne is still playing over him, especially in 2-wide sets, but like, this team's going to run as much 3-wide as almost anybody anyway. They're throwing enough to where Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, and Osborne can all get there. And this matchup is perfect for him. I mentioned how bad the Chargers have been at allowing or limiting explosive pass plays. 59% completion rate off deep passes so far this season. 280 yards off deep passes, the most in the NFL. Jordan Addison's, that's the role for him. He's been running a ton of go routes. 4 of his 11 targets have come off go routes this season. Like, I think it's a perfect spot for him to catch a third straight, you know, long touchdown pass. So he's like high-end wide receiver 3 for me. And like, if you're really desperate or, you know, DFS, I'm still fine with KJ Osborne. Because like I mentioned, they're throwing the ball so much. Osborne's still playing a ton. And Osborne's top 5 among all wide receivers in routes run. So I'm still okay with him, but I love the spot for Jordan Addison. And then, of course, you're starting T.J. Hockenson, who, since joining the Vikings last season, has had at least 8 targets in 9 of 12 games with the Vikings. He has been, it's been literally him and Kelce. They've been the 2 best tight ends in fantasy since he joined the team. Let's move on to Tennessee at Cleveland. Obviously, Nick Chubb will be out for the season. Just absolutely, like, broke my heart seeing that. So Cleveland will have to move forward without him. Jerome Ford is one of the most popular players in fantasy right now. And it's always interesting. We had this case last week with Joshua Kelly, right? Backup running back thrust into a huge role, but facing Tennessee's elite run defense. So far this season, I think it's 18% of the yards against the Titans have come on the ground. It's one of the lowest rates in the league. They're top five in adjusted line yards according to DVOA, which you can find over at ftnfantasy.com. And it's just a brutal spot. However, even though we're only in week three, we are so desperate for running backs that will get 15 to 17 touches. I know the Browns signed Kareem Hunt, and I know he's going to play in this game. But yeah, it's a volume-based play. Hope he gets in the end zone. He's like right around a running back 20 for me. I'm okay starting him, but just temper expectations because this Tennessee run defense, as it's been for a couple years now, is elite. And for Deshaun Watson, I mean, if it doesn't happen here, it just might not happen. He's been really bad this season. His 55.1% completion rate is only ahead of Zach Wilson. 44.4% completion rate on deep passes is bottom five. Just 57.1% completion rate on passes from a clean pocket. Second lowest rate in the league. He hasn't been good. But now he faces the Titans. 81.2% of the yardage against Tennessee has come through the air. Third highest rate in the NFL. 8.2 yards per attempt. Highest ADOT in the league at 10.9. And Derek Carr and Justin Herbert both eclipsed 300 passing yards against him. So I still have Watson as a low-end quarterback one. But if it doesn't happen in this matchup, I don't know if it's going to happen this season. Amari Cooper, I'm surprised he played. I mean, he went from unlikely to play with the groin to game time decision to looking really good. 7 catches, 90 yards, 10 targets, was kind of limited, about 73% of the snaps. So not too limited. Should be full go this time around against the Titans, who are allowing 111.5 yards per game to opposing wide receiver ones. We've seen them already allow a ton of production of wide receivers, whether it's been Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and then last week Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And like Christian Fulton didn't play in week two with a hamstring injury. If he doesn't play, Trey Avery will have to play more once again. And he was awful. He gave up 12 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns on 15 targets just last week in coverage. So if Cooper gets that matchup, that should be really favorable for him. I'm also fine with Elijah Moore as a wide receiver 3. The utilization has been really favorable for him. 7 and 9 targets through 2 games, 3 rushing attempts. He's lined up out of the backfield 13 times over the first 2 weeks. 9 of those came last week without Chubb. So he's averaging 9.5 opportunities per game. Great matchup. This could be his breakout game for sure. Moving on to Tennessee, it's pretty easy. Like, Henry's dealing with a toe. I think he still plays. He had a massive workload last week. So, and like Tennessee is going to be cautious with him, with Hopkins. They'll rest a lot in practice over the course of the season. Not the greatest matchup. I know Cleveland's run defense was bad last season, but they are a different team, different scheme. They brought in Dalvin Tomlinson and Za'Darius Smith. So you're still starting Derrick Henry, but no, the Browns are allowing the third fewest yards before contact per attempt. Hopkins is like right around wide receiver 30 for me. I don't love him. He was limited last week with the ankle, played 60% of the snaps, mostly played on snaps where the Titans were in 11 personnel. Hopefully he's back to full strength. He does have 16 first read targets this year, which is top seven in the league. Tough matchup. We're seeing a lot more man coverage from Jim Schwartz and the Browns this week, but he's a volume-based wide receiver 3. High-end, but wide receiver 3 for me still. And Treylon Burks, it's just there's not enough volume for him to really be more than a wide receiver 4 right now. Texans at Jacksonville up next. I don't think you're starting him unless you are in a super flex league, but I've been very impressed with CJ Stroud. I mean, Houston's been without 4 starting offensive linemen. Stroud's been under pressure a ton, but he just keeps playing well. I mean, last week, 64% completion rate, 384 yards, 2 touchdowns. The dropbacks will be there. I mean, he leads the NFL in dropbacks right now. Texans continue to chase points. They actually lead the NFL with already 104 plays when trailing by 8-plus points this season. So they're just always behind. 44 and 47 passing attempts from Stroud. Newsflash, they are pretty large road dogs again here. They also have allowed over 20 fantasy points. Jacksonville has two, both quarterbacks they face this season. So I'm okay with Stroud. They've been throwing so much. Unfortunately, I am not okay with Dameon Pierce. I mean, 12.2 fantasy points scored through 2 weeks, again, that preseason usage we saw is it's a myth. He was playing every snap with the starters, playing on third downs, playing on passing downs, and that has completely disappeared in the regular season. So far, he's played 4 of 29 third downs for the Texans. He's been under 50% of the snaps on the season. The offensive line is not doing him any favors, that's for sure. He has 15 total yards before contact through 2 weeks. 21% of the Texans' rushing attempts have been stuffed at or behind the line of scrimmage. It's just been really bad. Jackson has actually been pretty good against the run so far. 30% of the runs against them have been stuffed at or behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, Pierce went from, in my rankings prior to the season, you know, really strong running back two, and then now he's like a flex play at best. I did love Nico Collins in the offseason, and that's looking really good right now. 146 yards in a score last week. He now has 40% of Houston's air yards and over 23% of their targets. Really developing a nice rapport with CJ Stroud, especially on these like in-breaking routes. He's a low end wide receiver two for the time being. 27% target share against man coverage this season. He's really, really, really impressing me. And I think he is a borderline must-start player right now. You can also start Tank Dell as a wide receiver three or a flex in deep leagues. With Noah Brown on IR last week, we saw Tank Dell play a large role. 78% of the snaps, second on the team in routes. He caught 7 passes for 72 yards and a touchdown. It's a really good spot. And he's probably going to be pretty popular, if I had to guess, in daily fantasy. Pretty cheap. And you can honestly start Robert Woods, too. Like, this team is throwing so much that Robert Woods has 6 catches and 50-plus yards in both games, and he is top 5 among all wide receivers in routes run. So that volume should continue to be there for the Texans' passing game. It's been a little bit disappointing with Dalton Schultz, despite how much they've thrown the football. He leads the tight end position in routes run, but he's been really underwhelming. 13% target share is 25th among tight ends. 13.9% target per route run rate is 40th. It feels like a matter of time before he has a quote-unquote ceiling game. I'm still fine with him as a mid-range tight end too. For Jacksonville, you're starting Trevor Lawrence. I know he was bad last week, but you're not going to find 10, 11 quarterbacks better than him. Houston's pass defense is, I think, quietly solid, but they're going to be without Derek Stingley, their top DB. They might be without Jalen Petrie. So that obviously is really bad when you're facing Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, etc. So you're starting Trevor Lawrence. You're starting ETN, especially against Houston's awful run defense. Zach Moss got them for 88 yards and a score last week. And ETN, limited work against them because he wasn't the full starter. Then the second game was a blowout, but 189 yards and a touchdown against him on just 19 carries last year. Starting Ridley, I know he was bad last week, but very close to a touchdown multiple times. Christian Kirk, though, like, that was surprising. Jacksonville really, you know, bumped up their 11 personnel rate last week. Zay Jones obviously missed some time in that game, but Kirk was awesome. Caught 11 passes for 110 yards, 14 targets. Jacksonville continues to move Kirk around. 77% of the time he's in the slot. He has 18 snaps where he's been in pre-snap motion, fifth most among wide receivers, so he's a high-end wide receiver three for me. And again, you aren't going crazy about the production, but 2 solid floor games in a row from Evan Ingram, 5 for 49, 6 for 57. You're starting him. Kylan Granton scored his first career touchdown against this Texans defense just a week ago. This next game, look, I'm gonna be honest. There's not much here, right? Jets hosting the Patriots. We do have weather concerns for a couple games. This is one of them, which is great when you have Mac Jones and Zach Wilson playing quarterback. Look, I love what New England's offense is doing in terms of how much more fantasy friendly it is with Bill O'Brien. Top 5 in pace, top 4 in no huddle rate, just under 20%. Mac Jones is right up there with CJ Stroud for the league lead in dropbacks. Granted, they were chasing points in 2 of the games, excuse me, but this is probably a game where they don't have to air it out. They could win this game scoring 17, 20 points, right? Bad matchup as well. He was bad against the Jets last season. I'm not starting Mac Jones. Like, honestly, I think the only players you're starting are... There's one player from this game you're like, you're definitely starting. That's Ramondre Stevenson, who took on even more of a share of the backfield last week. 73% of the snaps, 18 of 22 running back touches. He's been on the field for 80.6% of New England's third downs, sixth highest rate among all running backs. The efficiency's been bad, and he's facing a tough Jets run defense that just held Tony Pollard to 2.9 yards per carry last week. The Jets are third in yards before contact allowed. Like, they are tough. But Stevenson should get 17 to 20 touches. He's dominating the work in the two-minute drill. He's a high-end running back, too. And then I'm starting Hunter Henry still, right? Five catches in both games, a touchdown in both games. He's been impressive, and we have to consider him a back-end tight end one. The Jets, on paper, may look like a bad matchup with tight ends. I think it's a good matchup just because, like, where else do teams go with the football, especially when you don't have great wide receivers on the outside, right? You have to target the middle of the field against the Jets. Last year, they allowed the fifth most receptions and receiving yards per game to tight ends. Last week, two Dallas tight ends scored against them, so I like Hunter Henry as a top 12 tight end. And then you have the question marks with Garrett Wilson and with Breece Hall. I understand the Jets want to limit Breece Hall and not, you know, completely give him everything two games since coming back from the ACL. But you have no choice but to give him the football, or at least run the hell out of the ball when Zach Wilson is your quarterback. And this defense is good enough for them when they're not playing the upper echelon teams to win games. Breece Hall was not happy about having four touches last week. Admittedly, the floor is unbelievably low, right? Dalvin Cook is still going to have a role. But, like, if you told me Breece Hall was guaranteed for, like, 14, 15 touches, I'd probably want to start him. He's just that good. He's that dynamic. Last week, we saw Mostert have 100, a touchdown, or two touchdowns against the Patriots. Granted, that was, like, Bill Belichick's game plan was, let's not give up these explosive pass plays to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And Mostert saw stack boxes on just 11% of his carries. Complete opposite philosophy probably this week, where let's stack the box and let's see if Zach Wilson can throw those explosive pass plays against us. So Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, they are very risky running back three plays. Again, if I was guaranteed that Breece Hall would touch the ball 15 times, I'd probably start him. He's that good, but it's tough. It's tough with the floor being so low. And then Garrett Wilson, like, I still think he's like a high-end wide receiver three at best. I know he's unbelievably talented. He is dominating the usage, 30.2% target share, 48% air yardage share. But when they're not throwing the ball, it's only 6.5 targets per game for Garrett Wilson through 2 weeks. He scored two touchdowns, which one was, the first one against Trey White was just an incredible play, and that's going to happen. Like, and so was the one last week. It was a slant. He took 65 whatever yards to the house. That's why it's so scary and frustrating to debate benching Garrett Wilson, because you won't find 12 wide receivers on the planet that are more talented than him. Christian Gonzalez actually was shadowing Tyreek Hill last game and did a good job. He probably does the same this week. So I still have Garrett Wilson as a wide receiver three. And it's unfortunate because he is unbelievably talented, as we know. Saints at Green Bay up next. I'm not overly in love with this game either. We do have to see if Aaron Jones is active. Same with Christian Watson. I believe both were practicing in some capacity this week. I haven't seen the practice updates for Friday. I can actually probably check right now real fast. But Aaron Jones, if he plays, I'm starting him. Again, we don't have that luxury to bench Aaron Jones. Maybe he's limited with the hamstring, but it's not like Aaron Jones gets 25 touches per game anyway, right? So if he gets 12 to 15 touches, he's been a top 12 running back with that usage before. I would probably wait and see with Christian Watson, though, just because there are way more wide receivers you can feel at least somewhat decent about. But I do want to talk about the Packers if he's out, because first week it was Romeo Doubs with two touchdowns. Last week it was Jaden Reed. And this Jaden Reed usage is pretty interesting. They are using him in motion a ton. He is seventh among wide receivers with 15 snaps in pre-snap motion. He is fourth among wide receivers with a 32.5% yards per out run. I think he's a low-end wide receiver three, with upside because of the manufactured touches. If Watson's out, I would probably rank him ahead of Dobbs. Tough matchup, obviously, but I think Dobbs would definitely see more Lattimore in this game, whereas Jaden Reed's playing mostly out of the slot. So I probably actually wouldn't even play Dobbs regardless. It's a brutal matchup. They have been using Lattimore to shadow through 2 weeks. Granted, it was against in week one, it was definitely a shadow situation against Hopkins. But yeah, the backfield, like if Aaron Jones is out, I would still have a hard time playing A.J. Dillon. Like, the Saints' run defense has been elite. They've been one of the best defenses in the NFL since, you know, the second part of last season. And I just don't think A.J. Dillon's very good. Jordan Love has also been really good for fantasy. I wouldn't start him either. I have him as a full-on sit. Like, 11.5% passing touchdown rate is obviously unsustainable. He had one of those touchdown passes last week where it was one of the pop passes to Jaden Reed where he made a great play after the catch. But, like, Jordan Love has not been as good as his fantasy production has kind of indicated. Only Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson have a worse completion rate from a clean pocket than Jordan Love, and 69.2% of his passes have been deemed off deemed on target. It's the sixth worst rate among qualified quarterbacks. So the Saints, they've allowed one 300-yard passer since the start of last season. I would not play Jordan Love this week. For the Saints, I'm out on Derek Carr. He's been terrible. Derek Carr right now, he has yet to complete a pass from inside the 10-yard line. Green Bay has been a top 10 red zone defense this season. They're top 8 in pressure rate. I'm out on Derek Carr. The backfield's pretty interesting. Jamal Williams will be out one more week without Alvin Kamara. Kendre Miller has been practicing in full. It's him and Tony Jones in this backfield right now. I do hesitate to believe that the Saints will just give Kendre Miller what Jamal Williams' role was the first couple weeks of the season before the injury, where it was like 75-80% snaps. So, like, I think Miller's a flex play. I would not immediately vault him to top 20, top 25 running back status just because of the uncertainty, especially with like pass pro reps. Will they trust him in pass pro, stuff like that? And like, Taysom Hill had 9 carries last week. They are going to give Taysom Hill probably 5-6 carries. A handful of those probably come inside the red zone, which makes him honestly a fine tight end streamer if you are extremely desperate. And then wide receiver, like, you're starting Chris Olave, just don't watch the first half of the game because apparently Michael Thomas gets all the targets in the first half and Olave dominates in the second half. But Olave's rates and his metrics are fantastic. He's just unbelievable. And we're seeing him play in the slot more. Right? Also has a 31.3% target share. He's being used all over the field, out wide, out of the backfield, in the slot. Maybe they use Jair to shadow him, but maybe Jair shadows Michael Thomas, who's actually been playing more on the outside. Michael Thomas so far this season, he's only been in the slot 28% of the time. So I think if Green Bay doesn't just want to have Jair follow Olave inside, probably gonna see more Olave or more Michael Thomas against Jair Alexander. Thomas's usage has been good too, though. Like, he's a mid-range wide receiver 3. And then Rashid Shaheed, back-to-back weeks with an explosive play late in the game. We know how efficient he's always been, and now we're starting to see more routes. So far this season, Shaheed is top 10 in deep targets and yards per out run. We would like to see him play more. It's just hard when the Saints use a ton of 12 personnel, and when they're in 12, it's Michael Thomas and Chris Olave on the field. But he's got that upside. He's a flex play going forward, and he should be added in every single fantasy league while we're at it. Yeah, I think that's it. We can move on. Before we do that, I need to hydrate because it's a lot of talking. So, give me 1 second. All right. Moving on to Denver at Miami. Jalen Waddle, he did practice on Friday, but I believe he was still in the concussion protocol. So we still have to wait and see with Jalen Waddle. If he plays, like, you don't love the fact that he doesn't get really any of the pre-snap motion targets that are schemed for Tyreek Hill. But you know, in this offense, with his talent, he's going to have a 6-catch, 150-yard, 1-touchdown game. And it could be this week, right? If he plays, We've seen Pat Surtain shadow the opposing wide receiver one, and then Damari Mathis has been getting destroyed by wide receiver twos so far this season in coverage. Damari Mathis is struggling. 15 receptions on 17 targets for 178 yards and 3 touchdowns in coverage. He's allowing a reception every 4.9 coverage snaps, the fifth worst rate in the league. So start Waddle if he plays. Obviously start Tyreek Hill. And like, not that you worry about it with Tyreek anyway, but for whatever reason, if you are worried about Pat Surtain, I don't think it's possible for a DB to shadow Tyreek Hill very much with how he's utilized. With all this pre-snap motion, short motion, Dolphins are using pre-snap motion 65% of the time. It's just very, very difficult. And also, Tyreek Hill destroys man coverage. Last year, 37.5% target share, 4.8 yards per route run. This year, he's at a 35% target share against man coverage. Broncos have been top 5 in man coverage so far this season, actually top 7. So yeah, Tyreek Hill, you're starting him. You're also starting Raheem Mostert, who has seen great usage. Last week he played, the first 2 weeks, he's played 70% of the snaps, handled 74% of Denver's or Miami's running back touches. That should continue this week. We just saw Brian Robinson get after the Broncos for 129 total yards and a pair of touchdowns. Denver allows the second most yards after contact per attempt. And this is coming 1 year after leading the NFL in missed tackles. So, yeah, high-end running back two is Raheem Mostert. Two is also in the mid-range to low-end quarterback one territory. Denver right now, by the way, league's second lowest pressure rate is just 13.5%, so that is not ideal. They're also allowing the fifth most points per drive and the fifth highest passing touchdown rate at 6.2%. So, yeah, you're starting the main Dolphins, and Durham Smythe remains like an elite punt play at tight end and DFS. He leads the entire NFL among tight ends in snap share at 98.5%. He's on the field a ton. Through 2 weeks, he's run around on 94% of dropbacks. Maybe he gets a slight uptick in targets if Waddle's out. Good matchup, too, against the Broncos. They allowed the second most receptions, the most targets, and fifth most receiving yards per game to tight ends last week, last season, I should say. So this is going to be a tough spot for the Broncos. They've been home in both games, I believe. Now they face Miami in the heat. It's going to be tough. Russell Wilson, he's like the quarterback 5 right now, but if it weren't for that Hail Mary at the end of the game last week, he'd be like quarterback 10, 11. Granted, he's played, he's looked better, right? And we saw that down the stretch of last season too. He's been a top 5 fantasy quarterback 3 times over his last 4 games. The play action rate's up. There's been more emphasis on the deep ball and rolling out of the pocket. So he's a high-end quarterback 2 for me just because the matchup's okay. He's doing enough, and the receivers are healthy. Good matchup as well for Javonte Williams, but like, I don't know what his usage is going to be. Like, he played 30 snaps last week. Samaje Perine played 33 as somehow, after leading 21-3, the Broncos actually started chasing points. Like, Denver, road dogs here. It's not the greatest spot for Javonte. He's a low-end running back, too, at best for me. And, like, I don't feel great about the receivers right now. I know Jerry Jeudy came back last week, played about 68% of the snaps, played in the slot 71% of the time. If I had to start a Broncos receiver, it would definitely be him. We still have that end of last season to kind of hold on to. Again, remember, from week 13 on last year, Jeudy averaged 7.5 targets, 6 receptions, 87 receiving yards, and 18.5 PPR points per game. But yeah, like, I don't feel great about it. He's like a wide receiver 3 at best. I don't start Courtland Sutton in fantasy when Jerry Jeudy's active. Dating back to 2021, Sutton is now averaging 5.8 targets, 3.2 receptions, under 40 receiving yards, and just 7.7 fantasy points per game in 24 games with Sutton active. So, or with Jeudy active, I should say. So I'm just not excited about the Broncos receivers right now. Buffalo at Washington. I will be at this game, and apparently this game will have some bad weather too, a lot of rain. I will be in attendance, so I'm pretty excited to see the Bills in action. But definitely keep an eye on weather. Like, it's not going to be the point where I'm benching Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs or James Cook, but it could make a decision on players like Jahan Dotson, definitely maybe like Tyler Bass as well. But yeah, turns out Josh Allen is not suddenly overrated and bad at football. Surprise. Josh Allen was amazing last week. 31 of 37 passes, 274 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Bills' offense through 2 weeks definitely looks different, though. It's more of an emphasis on short passes, getting the ball out, letting the skill position players do stuff after the catch. 6.4 ADOT is the lowest of Josh Allen's career. 6.4 intended air yards per pass attempt is 26th among all quarterbacks. 47.4% of his passes have been in the intermediate area of the field, so 0 to 9 yards. Now, he's faced the Jets and then the Raiders, who just play a ton of cover 2, ton of cover 3. This could be a spot where if the weather cooperates, this could be a spot where Josh Allen starts to connect on some deep passes. The Commanders are allowing the 4th most deep passing yards and the most passing touchdowns. They allowed two passing touchdowns of 20-plus air yards last week to Russell Wilson. They're also allowing 11.3 yards per completion. So yeah, this might be a spot where Josh Allen gets back to throwing the deep ball. James Cook right now, a top 12 running back in fantasy, despite not scoring a touchdown. He has not seen a carry inside the 5-yard line yet. That was pretty frustrating last week, where Damon Harris and Latavius Murray, they've combined for 5 such carries. They scored touchdowns each last week, but James Cook's still averaging 18.5 touches per game. He's top 5 in explosive runs. He has been getting it done in the passing game. He looks great. Washington has a solid but not like overly scary run defense, so James Cook, high-end running back 2 for me. You're obviously starting Stephon Diggs. He'll see a lot of coverage from Emmanuel Forbes, who's a talented rookie, but a rookie nonetheless. And I like Gabe Davis here too, if the weather cooperates again. Davis was awesome last week. He has been much more productive against zone coverage in his career, and the Raiders play a ton of zone coverage, and Davis went off 6 for 92 and a touchdown. Commanders, they played a lot of zone so far this season, and Gabe Davis last year, his target share was about 4% higher against zone coverage than against man coverage. So he's a mid-range wide receiver three for me with a ton of upside. Again, keep an eye on the weather. And then at tight end, Dawson Knox was back at practice on Friday. It looks like he'll play. So like week 1, the Bills ran it almost exclusively 12 personnel. They ran it on like 64% of the time. Last week, it was down to like 40%. So as a result, you saw Dalton Kincaid play less. But he's still getting targets when he's on the field, right? He's got a 13.5% target share so far this season. He's playing in the slot 56% of the time. Washington has been good at defending tight ends, but they were bad against defending slot receivers. And that's pretty much what Dalton Kincaid has been and will be for this team. So, but again, when both tight ends are active, it kind of takes away a little bit. Knox got the end zone target last week. They're both intriguing tight end 2 plays for me. And then for Washington, not really on Sam Howell. I love him this year. I think he made some throws, but bad weather, tough matchup. Buffalo's still generating pressure despite not having Von Miller there. For me, it's honestly like Brian Robinson, who is dominating the backfield right now, averaging 20 touches per game. He's handled 83% of Washington's carries or running back carries so far this season. And he has either a target or a carry on 37% of snaps, 7th highest rate among all running backs. Buffalo's run defense is kind of tough to really pinpoint right now, because in week 1, limited sample, but Breece Hall had the explosive runs against them. Last week, they stacked the box against Josh Jacobs. He had -9 rushing yards. So I think the Bills can be run on, but I also think they are not like, they're obviously not the Texans, you know, the Raiders, these unbelievably awful run defenses. The one thing you do have to keep an eye on, though, is like Washington is not like, there was that stretch where they were chasing points last week, but then in the second half, they weren't. There has been a game where the Commanders have been fully chasing points. And despite out touching Antonio Gibson 40-9, Gibson's still playing on all of the 2-minute and third down snaps, pretty much. I think Robinson's played like 20% of third down so far this season. So if the Bills roll in this game, it's obviously bad for Robinson. But like, I don't think they will. Like, I think the Bills will win. But I don't know if there's going to be a situation, especially if the weather's bad, where the Bills are up. You know, I don't think it's a situation like last week where the Bills were winning, you know, 38-10, right? So Robinson's a solid running back too for me. And you can't start Gibson. I mean, he's averaging less than five touches per game. Terry McLaurin, I don't know if he's 100% from that toe. Scored last week, but he's still outside the top 50 wideouts in yards per out run. He will face Trey White in this game. And yeah, technically Trey White has allowed two touchdowns in coverage. Week one, it was that crazy, amazing reception by Garrett Wilson. Perfect coverage. Last week, it was a screen pass to Davante Adams where he really, like he, again, you can make the case maybe he should have been, you know, whatever. He hasn't really gotten like torched this year. And it's a tough matchup. He's on the wide receiver two, wide receiver three borderline. And Dotson's a low end wide receiver three for me. But yeah, I'm excited to go to this game. I hope the weather cannot be completely terrible and I can enjoy myself a little bit. Falcons at Lions up next. I mean, Bijan Robinson is, like, I don't think it's a stretch to say he's the second best running back in the NFL. Like, I think at this point you have to just have McCaffrey one. He's just been too good for too long. And I know Bijan's only played two games, but I mean, did you watch what he did against Green Bay? He's incredible. I love the usage too. Right? Yes, Tyler Algier is still playing a lot. And yes, Tyler Algier is still averaging 17 touches per game. But when this team's running the ball as much as they are, he can have 15 touches and Bijan can still smash. Bijan with the Falcons chasing points last week took on more snaps because he's playing all the two minute and hurry up plays. Through 2 weeks, Robinson is playing 84% of Atlanta's third downs, fifth highest rate among all running backs. He's played on all of their two-minute drill snaps so far this season. And we've seen an emphasis on throwing to the running backs in the Falcons. So far this season, running backs have accounted for 29.3% of the Falcons' targets, third highest rate in the league. Desmond Ridder, 24% of his passing attempts have been behind line of scrimmage. And Bijan Robinson leads all running backs in snaps out of pre-snap motion with 16. Eighth most in all football, too. Eighth most in all football. They're running a lot of plays where both running backs are on the field together. Love the usage. Lions' overall run defense on like a per-carry basis has been so much improved since the second half of last season. But they're really banged up right now. So Bijan's obviously a top-five play. I'm fine with Algier, who is still second in the league with three carries from inside the five-yard line. He's handled 75% of Atlanta's carries from that part of the field. And Lions, they allowed two touchdowns to Ken Walker last week. And so far this season, opponents are scoring touchdowns on 75% of red zone trips against the Lions. Then for the passing game, it's the same old. Drake London, he's a high-end wide receiver three for me. In games where the Falcons throw, he's going to be really good. In games they don't, he's probably going to be bad. They threw 32 or 33 times last week. This game's probably going to be really slow, too. I mean, you have two teams that want to run the football. Jerry Jacobs is probably going to be who's guarding him, and Jacobs has not been great so far this season. 11 catches, 89 yards, and two touchdowns on 15 targets. So London still is a high-end wide receiver three. And I want to start Kyle Pitts, but like he's my tight end 12 right now. He has 34% of Atlanta's air yards. He's averaging 12.3 yards before the catch perception, but they're just not scheming anything for him. It's run the ball, throw the ball to the running backs, throw the ball to Drake London, and then take an occasional shot or two down the field to Kyle Pitts. So it's been frustrating. Jared Goff is at home, and I want to start him again. At home last week, 323 yards, three touchdowns, 80% completion rate. Since the start of last season, Goff is now averaging 279.5 passing yards, 2.6 touchdowns, and 21 fantasy points per game at home. Falcons' pass defense has definitely improved, but he's on the quarterback one, quarterback two borderline for me. For the backfield, probably not going to see David Montgomery in this game. I don't think it automatically means Jahmyr Gibbs is getting 20 opportunities. Because when Montgomery left last week, Gibbs played 13 snaps in the fourth quarter. Reynolds played 10. Reynolds got the goal line work too. I think Gibbs is just going to continue to be, regardless of circumstance, in the Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara type usage where it's 12 carries, 10, 12 carries, 6, 7 targets. And he's going to be really good in that role. You don't need him to have Like, we don't need Gibbs to have carries from on first and 10 from the opponent or from his own 30-yard line. He'll be more than good with the usage he's going to get. And look, he had 9 targets last week. Amon-Ra is a little bit banged up. Falcons will have allowed a run of 10 plus yards on 13.2% of carries, 6th highest rate in the league. Should be the spot, the breakout game for Gibbs, but don't expect him to get 20 opportunities and all the goal line work. But again, 14, 16 touches, and he can still post top 12 production. Amon-Ra St. Brown, apparently dealing with turf toe, but he looks, you know, he looks healthy. He'll play. You're starting him. In the occasion that he doesn't play or something like that, Josh Reynolds. Wide receiver 12 in fantasy right now, Josh Reynolds. He would be on the wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 borderline. And then Sam Laporta. I think Sam Laporta is a must start. Like, I'm starting him over Kyle Pitts if I have both players. 5 catches in back-to-back games to start his career in the NFL. 83% snap rate. Usage has been solid. Falcons so far last season, I should say, 8th most receiving yards per game. 2 opposing tight ends. I have Sam Laporta as my tight end 8 for the week. Final game that could have some weather concerns. It's the Colts at Ravens. Keep an eye on this for sure. Anthony Richardson will not play. Ruled out with a concussion. Gardner Minshew. He will do enough to keep this offense afloat and to keep Michael Pittman afloat, but you are not starting him. Zach Moss obviously was just unbelievable in terms of usage last week. 98% snap share. Had every single running back touch. I don't see a situation where I don't know if he has that type of usage again, but he'll probably lead the running backs in snap share once again this week. Really tough matchup. I mean, since the Ravens traded for Roquan Smith last year, they're allowing like 3.5 yards per carry. This season, they have been great again, stopping the run. And looking back, like since the Roquan Smith trade, I mean, these are some of the production. This is the rushing yards they've allowed to these running backs they faced. 30 yards to Kamara, 24 yards to Dante Foreman, 47 to Latavius Murray, 33 to Najee Harris, 99 to Nick Chubb, which is actually pretty good considering he had like 22 carries in that game, and he's the best running back arguably in the NFL. 74 to Tyler Algier was pretty good, but then they did get lit up by Harris again for 111, but then 27 to Mixon, 38 to Pierce in week 1, 59 to Mixon last week. They've been so good against the run. So I have Moss as a high-end running back 3/flex play. And yeah, like with Minshew under center, still starting Michael Pittman. He had like a 40% target share once Minshew entered the game last week. 33% target share on the season. And with this Shane Steichen scheme that runs a lot of RPO, the Colts running RPO 17% of the time this year. It's the highest rate in the NFL. We're seeing Michael Pittman in that A.J. Brown role from the Eagles last year, where if they run RPO, he's catching the quick slants if they throw it. He's seen, again, early, but he's seen 60% of the team's targets out of RPO sets. Like, the usage is so good. Baltimore secondary is depleted with Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Williams out. Now their slot defensive back, Ardarius Washington, is on IR. So we saw T. Higgins have 90 and 2 scores last week. Hopefully the weather isn't too bad, but I have Michael Pittman as a strong wide receiver too, regardless. For the Ravens, you're starting Lamar Jackson. The Colts secondary just has no shot. Lamar Jackson was unbelievable last week as well. That throw he had down the seam to Zay Flowers, probably the best throw of the NFL season so far. Colts this season, 8th highest passing touchdown rate allowed, and a 68.4% completion rate. So Lawrence and Stroud were both top 12 quarterbacks against him. You're starting Lamar Jackson. And Gus Edwards, looks like Justice Hill will be out because he's dealing with turf toe. We know Dobbins is out for the year, so Gus Edwards should probably see 15 carries in this game. He probably needs a score because he just does not get targets. I don't remember the last time he caught a pass, but huge home favorite. Weather could be even more of an emphasis on the run. So I like Gus Edwards a lot. Like, I would start Gus Edwards over Damian Pierce, assuming Justice Hill's out. I would start Gus Edwards over... Who else would I start Gus Edwards over? Probably be easier to look at my rankings. But Like, I would start him over the Jets running backs. I would start him over Zach Moss in the same game. I would start him over Javonte Williams, I think. So I'm pretty high on Gus Edwards, assuming Justice Hill is out. And this matchup is so good for Zay Flowers and the pass-catching players from the Ravens. As long as the weather isn't awful, this could be a smash spot for Flowers. Mark Andrews returned last week, so the usage and everything came down for Zay. But he still caught 4 or 5 targets for 62 yards. They're using him in multiple ways. And the Colts, I mean, they have allowed 2 100-yard games to wide receivers. 4 wide receivers have already finished as top 20 fantasy wideouts against them. Ridley was the wide receiver 6, Zay Jones the wide receiver 18, Nico Collins last week the wide receiver 5, and Tank Dell in the same game the wide receiver 19. Odell Beckham, they thought he wouldn't miss any time, but he hasn't practiced this week with the ankle. So if he doesn't play, Rashad Bateman does become a little bit interesting. He saw an uptick in snaps and route participation once Beckham was out in the second half last week. It's a great matchup. I mean, Dallas Flowers and Darrell Baker, they've allowed 13.5 and 12.8 air yards per target this season. Baker has allowed 12 catches for 205 yards and 2 touchdowns on 19 targets in coverage. So if Bateman is the wide receiver 2 this week, I do not hate him in deep leagues. And then, of course, you're starting Mark Andrews, who scored in his first game back last week and really was not limited whatsoever. Carolina at Seattle. Bryce Young will be out. He might miss a few games. Andy Dalton will start for the Panthers. Andy Dalton will not start for your fantasy team. Carolina's pretty easy, right? Like, Miles Sanders, the efficiency has been great, but I don't know how you bench somebody getting the opportunities he's seeing. 19.5 touches per game through 2 weeks. The Panthers continue to throw the running backs a lot. You do want to see him play more on third downs or see the Panthers in more favorable game scripts because Chuba Hubbard is playing more on passing downs. He's played 75% of the team snaps on third down this season. But Sanders, when he's on the field, he's getting the ball. He's seen a target or a carry on 38% of the snaps he's played. 6th highest rate among running backs. 15 to 17 touches should be in his range of outcomes again. He's a mid-range running back too. And then, like, Adam Thielen scored 20 fantasy points last week in, like, the least exciting way possible. Seattle has been awful against receivers, and their secondary is completely depleted. Tariq Woolen out, I believe. Kobe Bryant might be out. So, like, deep leagues, DFS, like, Thielen and Jonathan Mingo could be intriguing. Like, they've allowed 100 yards to Amon-Ra St. Brown. They allowed 100 yards to both Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua in week 1. Like, they have struggled in the back end. So, it's a good matchup if you're really feeling risky in you know, DFS. Geno Smith bounced back last week with a massive game. He has destroyed zone coverage. The Panthers are playing zone as much as any team in football. They're missing J.C. Horn and now Shaq Thompson on that defense. So I have Geno as a very, very high-end quarterback too. You're starting Ken Walker. He has handled nearly 75% of Seattle's running back rushing attempts so far this season. He got the goal line work last week too, which was awesome. He has 100% of Seattle's rushing attempts inside the 5. That was something I was a little bit worried about with Zach Charbonnet. Scored twice last week. We know Ken Walker is going to have a lot of 1 yard runs, 2 yard runs, but then he's also going to have a lot of 15 yard runs. That was the case last season. That's been the case so far this season. 14% of his carries have gained 10 plus yards. The Panthers, they've allowed a 10 plus yard run on 14% of carries against him. 5th highest rate in the NFL. I think as a home favorite, we could see Walker rip off one of those 60 yard touchdown runs here. You're starting Metcalf and Lockett, though I do prefer Lockett here. He's been much more productive against heavy zone defenses, and you're not starting any tight end from the Seattle Seahawks because they continue to play all 3 tight ends. Last week, Colby Parkinson, Noah Fant, and Will Disley, all 3 tight ends played over 30 snaps and ran in between 15 and 20 routes. It's just not going to work for fantasy. Cowboys at Cardinals. This game's relatively easy too. You're starting Tony Pollard. Last year, Tony Pollard had 12 carries from inside the 10-yard line. Through 2 weeks already this season, he's matched that with 12. 32 touches last week. I talked about it. The only running back I would take rest of the season over Tony Pollard in fantasy is Christian McCaffrey. I love Dak here. As long as the defense and the run game don't do everything, Dak should be in a really good spot. Cardinals have allowed the 2nd most passing yards and the 3rd most yards per attempt, and the 5th most yards per completion off play-action passing this season, And Dak is top five in the NFL in play action dropback rate this season at 32.3%. Prescott is a top 12 quarterback for me. CeeDee Lamb's amazing. He has accounted for 55.3% of Dallas's receiving yards, easily the highest rate in the NFL. He is playing all over the formation, in the slot, in motion. Yeah, you're starting him. And I like Jake Ferguson here too. He's not running a ton of routes. He's 33rd among tight ends in routes run, but he's getting high usage and high upside targets. He leads all tight ends in end zone targets with 7, and his 5 targets from inside the 10-yard line lead the entire NFL at any position. He's seen over 71% of Dallas's targets from inside the 10-yard line, and the Cardinals last year allowed 11 touchdowns to tight ends, the most in the NFL. For the Cardinals, James Conner continues to see a ton of volume, 78% snap share, 82% of the running back carries for the Cardinals. He has a tough matchup, but I don't know how you bench somebody getting his usage. He's a volume-based running back, too. I'm not in love with Marquise Brown here. I know, unfortunately, Trayvon Diggs out for the year, but they still have Stephon Gilmore. And for me, it's just Connor and Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz leads all tight ends with a 30.5% target share, 34% target per route run rate. He's not doing much with the targets, right? But he's going to have to see a ton of looks again, especially with Dallas' pass rush. Dobbs will probably be looking to him quickly. And Josh Dobbs, in his last 4 starts now, he has targeted the tight end position 28.8, 30.3, 33.3, I should say, 40, and 37.9% of the time. So it's not sexy, but Ertz is getting a ton of usage. He should be really, really, really solid in PPR leagues. Bears at Chiefs up next. I think Justin Fields breaks out this week. Obviously saw the stuff when he was talking to the media about how he needs to play less robotic. And again, like, I don't know what Luke Getsy's doing. He's not calling any design runs for Justin Fields. Last year, 78% of Fields' rushing attempts were designed. So far this season, 38.5% are designed. It's not it. The route combinations have been awful. But I think, based off what we've seen and what we've heard from the Bears and Justin Fields, I think this could be a 12-13 rushing attempt game from him, especially because they're huge underdogs. We'll see him scramble a lot when dropping back to pass the second half, chasing points. Chiefs pass defense has been really good, especially with Chris Jones back. But like, they blitz a lot. Right now they're top 5 in blitz rate. Justin Fields is really good against the blitz. Last year, 8 of his 17 passing touchdowns came against the blitz. And so far this season, last year he completed 61% of his passes against the blitz. He's been good against the blitz so far this season. I like the spot for Fields. I'm not benching him unless I somehow had like Kirk Cousins on my team. Maybe Jared Goff is close, but other than that, I'm not freaking out and benching Justin Fields here. The backfield's kind of tough right now. I mean, Dante Foreman was a healthy scratch last week, so we saw Herbert and Roschon Johnson fill the role. Herbert played 60% of snaps. Roschon played 42%. The Chiefs give up a lot of receptions to running backs, so you'd think that would benefit Roschon, who's played more in passing downs, but they're both pretty risky running back 3 plays at best. DJ Moore, he's on the wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 borderline for me against the Chiefs. Their secondary's played pretty well this season. And then Cole Kmet's like a high-end tight end 2. The usage is pretty solid, 13 targets through 2 weeks. 85% snap share is top 5 among all tight ends. 20.3% target share is 6 among tight ends. And last year, the Chiefs allowed the 5th most touchdowns per game to opposing tight ends, so it's a pretty good spot. Good luck if you're like me and you are facing Patrick Mahomes this week. The Bears have allowed 25-plus points in 12 straight games. They're allowing the 2nd most yards per pass attempt, 2nd most yards per completion at 13.7. And it looks even worse when you consider that they face Jordan Love and Baker Mayfield through 2 weeks. Mahomes is going to dominate this week. Travis Kelce, you're starting him. And Isaiah Pacheco is a lower-end running back 2. Huge home favorite. Last week he had, a decent amount of... He had 12 carries, but 8 of them came in the 4th quarter. But this could be a game where they're massive favorites against a bad run defense, and he sees like 12 to 15 carries in the 4th quarter. You obviously want to see any sort of goal line carries, but this is a great game environment for Isaiah Pacheco. So start him as a solid, you know, flex play, low end running back too. All right, three games left. Steelers at Raiders. This is it for Pittsburgh, right? Their offense has looked like an absolute mess. But at the same time, they've also faced two top five defenses in Cleveland and San Fran. If they can't right the ship this week, I don't think it happens for them. Good matchup here for Kenny Pickett as a, you know, viable second quarterback in super flex formats. Vegas, dead last in pressure rate at 10.5%. Highest completion rate allowed at 82%. So it's a good spot for Pickett if you are looking for a second quarterback in two QB formats. And I also think this is the week for Najee Harris. Like, he clearly is not a very dynamic player right now, but the Steelers are not helping him, right? Both things can be true. Najee Harris has two rushing yards before contact this season. Two. This should be a game where he can find some running room. The Raiders this season are allowing 2.6 yards before contact per attempt, third most in the league. 14% of the runs against them have gained 10 plus yards, fourth highest rate in the NFL. So, should be a game where the Steelers offense can sustain some drives. And even if he is, you know, losing some work to Jalen Warren, Harris can still see 17, 18 opportunities in a really good matchup. I have him as a strong running back too. And again, you hope it happens this week. Jalen Warren, he's a flex play. He's averaging like 10 touches per game so far this season, playing more in passing downs. Raiders are allowing the fourth most receptions per game to running backs, and we have seen Jalen Warren with a 16.2% target share through 2 weeks, seventh highest among running backs. So he's an okay flex play if you're in a pinch. And then George Pickens, he's a must-start receiver. I mean, first game without Deontay last week, 34% target share. He had 10 targets. They used him all over the formation, different route combinations, which is great to see. Gabe Davis just got this defense for 90 and a touchdown last week. And George Pickens so far this season, 28% target share against zone coverage. Raiders mostly run zone. So he's a rock solid wide receiver too until Deontay Johnson is back. And Pat Freiermuth on the tight end one, tight end two borderline. He's got to produce more, right? Two catches for 5 yards through 2 weeks is not going to cut it. But he's on the field a ton. Raiders batting against tight ends. Eighth highest catch rate to opposing tight ends so far this season. Just allowed 8 catches for 53 yards and a touchdown to the combination of Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid last week. And then for the Raiders, it's mostly just Jacobs and Adams. Josh Jacobs, like, yikes. Teams are really just stacking the box against him, which is a little bit concerning. He has minus 8 yards before contact so far this year. But he's on the field a ton. 85% of the carries have gone to Josh Jacobs. The Steelers' run defense has been bad. Back-to-back games allowing 100 yards. So I'm going right back to the ball with Jacobs. He's a top 8 running back. You're starting Davante Adams. Jacoby Myers is a fine flex play in PPR leagues. He should be good to go. The focal point, or the passing game, should run through Myers and Adams. And Josh McDaniels is not playing two tight end sets, so we're seeing minimal snaps from Michael Mayer and Austin Hooper. They're not playing enough or doing enough to make a difference in fantasy. On to the Monday games, Eagles at Tampa Bay. Jalen Hurts got back on track last week with 193 yards and a touchdown through the air. Had the two quarterback sneak touchdowns. Love the spot for him. We know Todd Bowles loves to blitz. Fourth highest blitz rate in the NFL for the Bucs right now at 38%. Hurts is completing 67% of his passes with two touchdowns against the blitz so far this season, averaging 10.1 yards per attempt. Also, the Bucs allowing 7.6 yards per attempt to quarterbacks and 11.3 yards per completion. You're starting Jalen Hurts. The backfield's pretty interesting, though. I mean, DeAndre Swift obviously dominated last week. He had 28 carries with Kenneth Gainwell out. He looked fantastic. The Eagles ran the ball 45 times or something. Won't be the same approach this week for sure. Tampa Bay's run defense is really good. And Kenneth Gainwell, if he plays, like, he's not going to be a healthy scratch. He's going to play. They like Kenneth Gainwell. But understand the matchup is tough. Just 17.8% of the yardage against the Bucs this year has come on the ground. Second lowest rate in the NFL. Just 3% of the runs against him have gained 10-plus yards. That's also the lowest rate in the league. I have Swift as, like, a low-end running back, too, if Gainwell plays. Obviously, if he doesn't play, he's probably, like, top 15 pretty easily. You are starting Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. Smith has been better against teams that play a lot of zone. That's been the case for Tampa Bay. But A.J. Brown has been better against teams that blitz a lot. So it's kind of interesting. Not that you have to choose between the two because you're starting both anyway. Last year, A.J. Brown had a 32.3% target share against the blitz, sixth highest rate in the league. Tampa Bay has allowed 2 100-yard games to wide receivers so far this season, 10 yards per target to wide receivers as well. So it's a great spot for both. And A.J. Brown, maybe they get him more involved. Week one, Goddard went without a catch. They immediately got him more involved last week. A.J. Brown not happy, I guess, about his targets. So maybe they get him more involved. But you're starting both regardless. And yeah, like I mentioned, like after failing to catch a pass last week, Goddard was more involved. 7 targets, but he didn't do much with them, just 22 yards. Dallas Goedert also been more productive against zone coverage. Last year, he had a 22.2% target share against zone compared to just 15% against man. He's a top 6 tight end, obviously, as well. For Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield's playing well. I mean, 80% of his passes completing under pressure. He's been amazing on third downs. To be fair, though, we have to keep an eye on the matchups. They face maybe the 2 worst defenses in the NFL in Minnesota and Chicago. But Philadelphia has not been great. They allow the highest passing touchdown rate in the NFL. Their secondary is really beat up. So I think Mayfield's still a really strong streaming option at quarterback. It's tough to bench any running back getting Rashad White's usage, right? He is top 8 in snap share. He's averaging 20.5 touches per game. But brutal matchup. Eagles allow the fewest yards after contact per rush. It's tough. Just 13.7% of the yardage against the Eagles has come via the run. Lowest rate in the NFL. I have Rashad White as a low-end running back too. You're starting Mike Evans. He's been unbelievable. But I do think this is a more of a Chris Godwin week. Like, he's given you the floor 5 for 50 in both games. We are seeing Dave Canales, and he talked about this in the offseason. He's using Chris Godwin out wide more. Last year, Godwin played in the slot 73% of the time. This year, it's down to 45%. I would like to see him play in the slot more this week because the Eagles will be without Avante Maddox in the slot. He's their top defensive back on the inside. The Eagles last year were vulnerable in the slot. And so far this season, they're allowing 9.5 targets per game to slot receivers. So this is a spot to attack. I think this could be a Godwin week, especially if they move him inside a little bit more. And if you're really desperate for a tight end, I mean, Kate Otten doesn't leave the field. 97% snap share. Eagles have been bad against tight ends this season. You could do a lot worse if you're really desperate at tight end. Finally, Rams at Bengals. We'll see if Joe Burrow plays. If he does, I'll probably still start him. But you have options, right, with 2 Monday games. So if you have Joe Burrow, you can pick up, hopefully, Baker. Or you can pick up Matthew Stafford and kind of wait and see. I mean, Chase, you downgrade Chase and T. Higgins if Burrow doesn't play. Chase is, like, closer to wide receiver 12 for me right now. And T. Higgins is closer to wide receiver 24. That'll change. Like, I'll move T. Higgins closer to wide receiver 15 if Burrow plays. And then for the Rams, like, you have to start Puka Nacua, obviously. He's my wide receiver 7. I feel like it might be too low for Puka. Through 2 weeks, he leads the league in targets. Targets per outrun, first read targets, and target share. You obviously love the production. He's been so good, and I love the scheme right now. But, like, Tutu Atwell, he definitely deserves some love, too. Through 2 weeks, he's 10th in the league in receptions and 8th in receiving yards. He has been moved all over the formation by Sean McVay so he doesn't get, you know, pressed off the line of scrimmage, giving him free releases. Tutu Atwell has been in pre-snap motion on 33 snaps this season, the most in all football. Rams leading the NFL in plays per game on offense, which means Tutu Atwell top 5 among all wide receivers in routes run. He's a strong wide receiver 3 again. And then Kyren Williams obviously must play too. Like, this is elite usage. He's averaging 1.2 PPR points per touch. He has 4 touchdowns already. Last week, he played 95% of the snaps. Akers is now in Minnesota, so, like, you feel great about the playing time going forward. The volume isn't going anywhere. And the Bengals' run defense has not been great so far. Almost 20% of the carries against him have gained 10-plus yards. It's the highest rate in the NFL. And then Stafford, like, there aren't 3 quarterbacks in the league playing better than Stafford right now. It hasn't led to great fantasy production. But he's a mid-range quarterback too for me. And he's going to have some spike weeks if he's playing this well because the touchdowns will be there, especially once Cooper Kupp is back in the lineup. That'll do it for me here. Over an hour talking about all the games here for week number 3. Best of luck in all of your matchups. Again, check out the read option article at ftnfantasy.com. couple games each week are up free to read. The rest of it is behind the paywall, but we have the podcast as well. So it's a good way to get fully prepared for the entire week ahead. And yeah, have a great weekend. Best of luck. Check out all the content at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. Just been a blast here to start the NFL season. Enjoy. Best of luck. We'll see you guys next week for week 4. This has been Adam Pfeiffer for the FTN DataCast. Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN DataCast with Adam Pfeiffer. Be sure to follow your host on Twitter at apfeiffer24. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on the FTN DataCast, where data drives the discussion.